Hold on, let me start mine in a sec.
Yeah.
Let me just finish taking this.
We're not in the same place recording anymore, though.
No, and I mean, it's always good when you start a podcast by taking drugs, right?
Did we say that the prescription?
I mean, let the people think what they think.
Let the people think.
Hello, friends.
Hey, Burkhead's in for next week, so.
Okay, cool.
All right, now I'll actually start.
Sports entertainment is Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad, the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg, Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
I can't touch you this week, Greg.
That may be a good thing. I don't know.
We're not eating breakfast in bed, watching SmackDown.
We did not eat breakfast in bed in SmackDown, actually. My wife is up preparing breakfast for us because...
I'm not in your house, let's just make that clear. I already had breakfast.
Yes, by us, I mean my family, as opposed to me and Brad, but yes.
Things went back to normal this week. We went back to our jobs. We didn't wander around Toronto. Although, thank you to everyone who made us feel so welcome. Two podcasts in a hotel room while in the midst of chaos. It was so much fun.
It was. It was, in fact, yes.
And we were there when John Cena became a villain.
So funny about that is that I was actually last night at the Thunderbirds game, and a friend of mine comes over to me. He seeks me out. He's a massage therapist with the team. He comes over and seeks me out up to my seat. He's like, dude, how good was that heel turn? And I just looked at him and said, better live, dude. And then the guy in front of me was like, oh my God, you were there? So then I had to tell them all about our trip to Toronto. So
yeah, I had the same conversation with Daryl in the comic book store.
Nice.
So it just, like, people are shocked. And then, of course, people like, and then there's the picture of us with Jimmy. It's like, people are like, you haven't lived until you've watched a wrestling match with Jimmy. But we might all get to experience that feature soon, because I've heard that rumor that Jimmy is considering doing a match. And I think there's a whole thing, just Jimmy doing a match, even if you watch it, just kind of broke it down. But I like the idea of, like, live matches with Jimmy.
Yeah, so do I. So we'll see. We'll wait. We'll see.
So is there anything you want to talk about from this week's wrestling news?
This has been a week of title changes.
Yeah, I didn't even thought about that. It's Raw. We started with Raw and we had the big title change where Mommy's no longer on top.
Mommy is no longer on top. I guess that means Mommy is on the bottom.
Well, we hear about bottoms in this in this show too.
We do, in fact.
And then we had a title change. They had two title changes in 1 week in WWE. I don't remember this happening.
Yeah. It's been a week, and apparently we're also going to be getting Evolution back.
Ooh, all right. Do tell.
Potentially this fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
But none of them can wrestle anymore, except for Orton.
Have you seen
Dave Bautista anymore? He doesn't look like a wrestler.
It took me a minute to process that, where I'm talking about, you know, the women's pay-per-view and you're talking about the Evolution faction.
Oh, you're talking about the all women's. We're due one of those. And when you think about it, I heard that news earlier this week, Greg, and I was like, okay, we have two women's mid-card titles on the main roster, two main titles, the tag titles, that's five. That's not counting the fact there are two titles in NXT. Like, you could do a seven title, you could do a just the main card women and have a five title, five titles on the line. It could be all titles. And yeah.
Oh. We also, and Brad, I'm just doing a quick peruse here of the news because it's been a very busy week for me. We've got a new member to the Daddy Club.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to mention this because I had it in my notes.
Oh, I did not until just now. So courtesy of our friends at, I don't know where I am. Is it Fightful right now? Former wrestlers, WWE wrestlers, Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma. And I don't remember what his last name is. Mike Rollis, formerly known as Riddick Moss, have welcomed the birth of their first child. People reported in an exclusive on Thursday, the couple welcomed a son, Leo, on Monday, March the 4th.
Oh, so,
congratulations to Riddick Moss and Emma on their birth, their baby.
Well, that's wonderful. I always like when people join the Daddy Club.
I know you do. I know that's part of the reason I look through the news is just to see if there's, you know, a verse that I can, you know, make sure we bring up.
Mazel tov.
Yes.
Okay, let's do SmackDown because I know you got a busy day ahead of you. And SmackDown was, although SmackDown was good last night, like I enjoyed watching it a great deal.
Yeah, it was okay, but I mean, it's very hard to compete with what we saw, you know, last week, right?
Yeah, the SmackDown last week was significantly better, but here is the main thing, Greg. This is a pretty good, and I would say even good, 3-hour show, which in this era we have not gotten a lot of. So I'm savoring this.
That's very fair.
So Walk and Talks in the background, and we finally get another attack. Damian Priest is we have Drew McIntyre walking to the scene. He sees Damian Priest and it's on site. He walks over, takes out Damian Priest, the Street King, and we get Street Justice. Greg, there's gonna be no consequences for these actions.
No, not at all.
Like, why would you attack a guy named the Street King?
Listen, this is, we're just waiting till WrestleMania. We just got to build this for another, 6 weeks or something?
At least you guys have spots. That's the story of this episode of SmackDown, is the people who we are building towards WrestleMania matches and the people who are expendable at WrestleMania season.
That's very fair.
And we can start making a list of who's expendable and who's not.
Well, so, I mean, then the real question is, you know, is there going to be a purge afterward?
Ah, the WrestleMania purge.
Yeah.
Recap one. John Cena is turned heel and we got the Elimination Chamber recap.
So how many times this week did you have to talk about John Cena being heel?
Oh, dozens.
Whether it was, you know, talking about Jon Stewart, watching the Jon Stewart clip this week or what. It's, yeah.
Okay, so to give you a thing, I went to church on Ash Wednesday as we are now, a few days into Lent. I was going to say into Lent, like 2 days. My boss, my former boss, who's not a wrestling fan, literally walks over to me and he says, "Man, what was louder, the national anthem or people booing the national anthem of the Americans or John Cena's heel turn?"
John Cena's heel turn by far.
Oh, I would have thought it was the national anthem. But anyways, either way, Greg, there are non-wrestling fans who know I'm a wrestling fan and do podcasts who are stopping me.
That's right.
I couldn't get through praying at church.
No.
Without Pete, I had about a half a dozen people. Like, did you see that?
Coming up to talk to you.
And not wrestling fans. Like, yeah. Not the wrestling people.
Well, so again, when Jon Stewart basically devotes a whole show to tying into this heel turn.
Versus the heel turn of Donald Trump on the Ukraine. Yeah, I know. I saw that whole thing. It's everywhere. It has become... And Guinness came out and said John Cena still holds the record for the longest time as a babyface. Although they are not taught. I mean, I guess it's active performers because let's be honest, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is the longest babyface. He's never turned.
Yeah. I guess there's been reporting this week that it was 100% pitched for Cody. to turn heel. Cody declined it, and Cena, once it was pitched to him, he you know, signed up no problem.
Of course he did, because I think that John Cena wants an opportunity to do this. This is his last, this is the last time ever, and we're finally getting the heel turn.
I also saw someone post, and I don't even remember where, so I apologize that I can't credit it, but someone basically said, well, I mean, John Cena being a heel, if you've ever watched Total Divas, you know he's a heel, and the face thing is all an act, so...
Oh, yeah. Like, if you watch Total Divas, it's just the weird rules he had. And I watched that whole series with my wife. It was, he was a heel. And I mean, just him. And on the other hand, I argue that who was the bigger heel in that show, Greg? It was Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella is the ultimate heel.
Well, I mean, she's back in WWE.
Don't worry. John Cena is married, so this is not going that way.
I know. I mean, but the two heels can get back together on screen. Who knows?
And pretend, oh, they do a Edge and Lita thing. That's a good idea, right. Greg. Done. Right. All right, somebody book that. Meanwhile, speaking of bookings, Randy Orton's got a booking. He's back, Greg. We got to sing the theme song and everything, and now he's here.
We did. We did get to sing the Randy Orton theme song.
So reoccurring theme in this show, Greg, is that everybody talks about John Cena.
Yes. Yes. Yes, they do.
So... And Randy Orton gets the best one when he calls John Cena a bottom and says, gives a new meaning to the term rock bottom.
That's, yes. Yes, he did. That's what we got.
I'm doing a round of applause. I'm clapping and making a circle with my hands because that was beautiful. This promo, basically, he puts over Kevin Owens. He thinks that Kevin, he understands Kevin because he's done evil things too. But he loves Kevin Owens, the wrestler. He respects him, but he doesn't like Kevin Owens, the person, because he always did what was for business. And Kevin Owens went too far. He went after, he keeps saying he went after Cody and Sammy for other reasons, but really he went after Cody because he wants his spot. And he went after Sammy because Sammy was becoming a bigger star than Kevin Owens. And he couldn't allow that to happen. When he reappeared, he said, talks about his back injury and how, you know, he was never going to get frustrated in this ring. He was just going to try and enjoy his last run. But Kevin Owens awakened something inside of him. And normally an RKO would be enough. But he started hearing voices in his head. They talked to him. They called to him. They talked to him. And he said he needed to punt Kevin Owens. And he was planning to kick him so hard that even his beloved loved ones would not know who he was. And this, he's hearing the voices, Greg. What are the voices saying to Randy Orton?
I think my favorite line from this Randy Orton promo was the line where he said that Pat McAfee is not the best punter in WWE.
Like, God dang, this is the part of the show where having the veteran talent around, you can just see the difference. Like, Randy Orton's promo was on point.
Yeah.
And I thought it was long, and then went back and checked. It was like 6 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
No, it was perfect. And I thought he took longer to do it because I was like, oh, he got a lot of ground there, but he was very succinct. Frankly,
it certainly wasn't a meandering promo of a trying to, you know, sell your soul.
Where I wish we would have gotten more, because there's some other stuff here. Although I don't think there was a lot of wasted space in this show. This show really was fast, fast, fast. Yep. So segment in the back with Tiffy and Nick Aldis. They're chatting and Chelsea barges in. She's talking about the unfair treatment. She's complaining about management. And Tiffy basically calls her out for being a whiner. And Chelsea has a match. But her secret Hervis doesn't. So we're going to get Tiffy and Piper, the secret Hervis, here. And yeah. Chelsea's mad because her secret Hervis is distracted. She has other duties tonight.
Yeah. Yep. That's what we got. And I was like, uh-oh.
Well, it worked out, Greg. I actually like where this is going.
I do. I didn't think I was going to, but I love this. So let's keep going.
John Cena recap.
Wait, did something happen with John Cena?
Apparently, you know, it's okay. Some small thing. Oh, and we have more recaps of Cody's getting beat down. More to come, Greg.
More to come.
You could just oh, what the hell? Our match number one of the night is Tiffany Stratton versus Piper Niven. So I enjoyed this match because we see it's power versus speed and even a little bit of power from Tiffy to show how athletic she is.
So I'll tell you, my wife watched this match with me.
Oh, okay.
And her very first statement when she saw Piper come to the ring is, man, I don't know who designed her ring gear, but it's terrible.
Really? I always liked her Warrior Xena kind of ring gear.
Yeah, no, my wife hated it. She said that it didn't flatter Piper's body shape. And yeah, she was not like, she's like, okay, it's kind of got a corset design, but like there's no chest support there in it for her. So she was not a fan of her gear. And then when I asked her about, for example, Tiffy's gear, her reply was, it looks like someone got one of the one of those colors that one may wear after hours and made it pink and put it on her gear.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Your wife was not a big fan of anybody's gear tonight.
I'm not sure that she cared one way or the other about Tiffy's gear, but I don't know if that was a good or bad comment. I haven't decided yet.
So Tiffy does one of her big backflip moves. Piper catches her, tosses her to the outside, hits a cannonball, looks like she bangs her head, and there's her commercial. Back from commercial. Tiffy counters, she rallies, swanton, but Piper gets one last gasp. She gets Tiffy down in the corner. We're going to get a Vader bomb, miss, and then prettiest moonsault ever. Greg, before we get to the extras, this was great. This was perfect. Tiffy got to showcase her that she's a champ.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that I liked how quickly this ended with the prettiest moonsault ever. Like, there was very little lead up to it. But, yeah.
The point of this match was that she got a win against a credible opponent, and then stupid Charlotte Flair comes down, attacks the knee, stupid Charlotte Flair. Like, this is all, this is stupid. You know why this is stupid? Because this is all they know how to do with this angle. Hold Nothing on. Is happening.
I forgot about that because my wife also has comments on Charlotte's gear. Because when she saw Charlotte's shoes at this point, she says, oh my God, is she wearing Astro Boy's boots or what?
Yeah, she stole Seth Rollins' gear.
Yeah, those boots were, they look like Dunlops that have seen better days. I don't know.
I'm really excited for this match as long as Tiffy wins. Because it'll be a good match. But if Charlotte wins again, the stuff I will throw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nick Aldis, so I didn't classify this as a recap because while it recaps everything, it really just tries to explain what's going on with the tag team division.
Oh, I love this segment with Nicholas.
This was great. He basically put all five teams on the board and he started connecting with lines about how people are feuding, and it turns into this big
web. A March Madness play. And honestly, I wouldn't mind WWE having their own March Madness tournament, right? Like, I think that might be a fun thing. Obviously not this year, but yeah, I'd love this segment with Nicholas showing us, who screwed who. And yeah, this was great.
So he explains all of it. And then this sets up the match for tonight. So we got a triple threat match for tonight and next week, triple threat. Motor City Machine Guns versus Los Garza versus Pretty Deadly. The winner becomes the number one contenders. Yep. But the current number one contenders are the Street Profits, who will face DIY next week in Barcelona, Spain.
Yes. And Wade be in Barcelona.
Early show, hopefully. And Wade says, I could have explained this to you in one sentence. The tag division has been a chaotic mess.
That is an understatement.
Match number two of the night, Greg, is the Motor City Machine Guns versus Los Garza versus Pretty Deadly. I love the beginning of this match. I have never seen anything quite like it, where the three teams are there and there's constant blind tags and everybody just gets so annoyed that the fight is on.
Yes.
And we end with the commercial break with a double moonsault to the outside by the Garzas.
That we do.
Greg, they those Garzas are underrated.
Yeah, they really are.
I thought you were going to make a joke about the fact that only one of them was wearing their scratch mark this week.
I didn't really pay that much attention, if I'm being honest with you, that's what it was.
So Chris Sabin has some highlight moves in this match where he hits his flying DDT. Everybody hits a high spot. And the end of this is that we have Skull and Bones about to be hit. And Alex Shelley gets pushed off by Kip Williams. And the other member, Pretty Deadly, catches Chris Sabin in a backslide for a win. I did not see that coming. I figured we'd get 10 more minutes of this match, but it didn't outstay its welcome. So it was perfect.
No, it didn't. But yeah.
Okay. You're not going to be here next week. Is there any chance this match is going to end clean next week?
No.
So when are we getting...
The probability of this match ending clean is about the same probability you have of walking down the street of Barcelona and not having your pocket picked.
So the only question I have for you is, are we getting Miz and Carmelo added to these teams to make it a nice round six for our WrestleMania match?
Could quite possibly be. I was actually looking to see, as I've spent a little bit of time in Barcelona, I was looking to see where the stadium is in relation to the part of Barcelona I usually stay in. And it's not terribly far. So it's kind of just outside the downtown area. So this is fun, and surprised that there are tickets left.
So this could have been a recap, but really I didn't classify it that way because it was that cage footage showing the beatdown. And they split screened it between the actual footage that we saw in the PLE and Bianca's reaction. That was great.
Yes. I this is the segment of the night that I did not like.
Of course you didn't. You hate everyone in this segment.
I hate everyone. I think that's where this really goes to.
Hold on. We got to go recap number three. All right. More John Cena. And then, sorry, that was four. This is five. If you want to hear more, next week the Raw Dogs will be back and you can hear more about what happened on Raw, including Io Sky, your new women's champion, because that was the fifth recap, Mommy on Bottom.
Yes, we got Mommy on Bottom. Mm-hmm.
Greg, Bianca promo. You want to just go off? Go ahead. I'll just sip my coffee.
Okay. So I was actually very curious for this segment only because I thought this could be a very interesting way to kind of not necessarily clue up a storyline, but kind of progress the storyline. And they had a great opportunity here with Bianca to turn heel.
Can you define clue up? That's a new
word. Yeah, it's not clue up. I think to advance the storyline is probably better.
I think you were going to say cue up the story, what was going to happen next.
Yeah, I meant the clue up the whodunit part.
Is this a Newfoundland phrase that I'm unfamiliar with? What, like, define clue up? So it's like a clue. Like
to finish.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry. To finish that kind of part of the story. And I think that they really missed the ball here because this started off okay. And, you know, you had Naomi who basically gaslighted Bianca the whole time. And then you had the angry car, like the
angry giant come flying out.
No, you had like the angry tears and like the ugly cry.
And the angry girl fight screaming.
Yeah, the girl fight screaming. That to me was, I think, a little over the top. And that honestly felt a little bit of a...
You didn't enjoy Naomi getting calling Bianca a bitch? That was quite...
No, that means nothing to me right now after you see Cody Rhodes drop an F-bomb. To The Rock. This to me, honestly, almost felt a bit... racially insensitive, if I'm being 100% honest.
So I actually love this in the sense that it didn't tie everything up because Bianca, the way we left this is that Naomi did this on her own to help her friend Bianca because she doesn't like Jade. But is Bianca involved? I don't know, because Naomi's in black, Bianca's in black, and Jade comes out in white.
Yeah.
And there is this, like, these two heels. I think this was all done for show. And Naomi's taking one for the team to let her friend win the world title. I just have a sense that that's where we're going. The only thing that's stupid, Greg, is the fact that Naomi need to get away. We do not need to keep seeing, because now there is no match, because Jake just keeps destroying her.
Right. Yeah. No, it seemed very over the top for me, and the hysteric screaming and I never want to talk to you again crap. That to me was just too much. Like, there was a way to do this. And I don't think this is the way I would have advanced the storyline.
So recap six. We must have had a brain fart, Greg, because apparently McIntyre attacked Damian Priest in the back earlier tonight. I totally forgot about that.
Did he? Really?
Yeah, surprise. And then Drew has a promo. He has no path to WrestleMania. He warned us about John Cena last week. And now we're getting ready for WrestleMania by him just taking out anybody he can on the way. It's fine.
And who does he take out? The exact same guy he took out last week.
No. The other or that guy weeks. Won. That guy won last week, or two
Drew,
weeks ago.
Drew won 2 weeks ago against Jimmy.
Jimmy won one against Drew. They're 1-1.
Oh,
yeah. It's very bad booking, just in the sense that, like, I don't know. This roster's huge. You can't kill somebody else.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking at this week. So Drew wins this week. And then if you go back to last week.
It wasn't last week, it was the week before there was the opposite. Because Jimmy's beat him recently.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think.
They've been feuding for months at this point. Listen, focus.
Over what, right? That's really kind of where I'm like.
Wait, Drew what? Hates the bloodline and... Drew hates the bloodline, and Jimmy just is bloodline adjacent at this point.
Sure, I guess.
And aren't you going to build Jimmy up so he can fight LA Knight for the title, or Shinsuke Nakamura, depending on who wins the match tonight?
I don't even know.
Let's focus on the positivity here. I got Diamond Dallas Page, Mr. DDPY himself, in his house, training with Lex Luger. And Cody goes to Lex's house because they're all in Atlanta and tells Lex he's going in the Hall of Fame. First of all, I am so grateful they're doing this while Lex is alive, because there's no telling how much time we have with Lex Luger left.
No, that's fair.
And the fact that somebody went and did it in person. It's.
Yeah, that was nice. It to me is a little it's very curious on. This because I'd heard rumors earlier in the week about a tag team getting put into the Hall of Fame, and that hasn't been announced yet. So
I'd say they're going to be in, and I really am happy for that. It'll be if they put in, because they should put the Natural Disasters in. That is the rumor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think I know there's a rumor that Demolition might end up in at some point because they've mended some fences.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see, you know, what additional Hall of Fame worthy acts are going to make it this year.
Well, and Lex is a great story because he screwed up really badly. And he's basically in a wheelchair. Dallas seems to be getting him back to a point where he can get around a little bit, which thank God. Like,
yeah.
All that stuff makes me kind of happy. Charlotte Flair cuts a promo in the back, dude. And she's talking about how the division's gotten soft. And speaking of people, remember we started this show talking about people who are got featured places on WrestleMania and people who don't?
Right.
Well, Piper doesn't and Tiffy does. Charlotte does. B-Fab. The worst thing that happened to B-Fab is she no longer hangs out with the Street Profits.
Legitimately, I forgot she was employed by WWE.
She is going to get killed by Charlotte next week.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
So next up, Solo Sikoa versus Braun Strowman. This match, it didn't even take very long. Braun gets Solo gets knocked to the outside. Braun misses his choo-choo train run, the Strowman Express. He lands hit first. After the commercial, we get a Samoan drop by Solo, and he flexed a little bit. Like, good job for you, buddy. You barely got him up and you dropped him.
Was that his homage to Lex Luger there or what?
Yeah, Lex is going to the Hall of Fame, baby. This match continues. He hits a Strowman Express. There's a power slam, and then Tama Tonga comes out, tries to make the save. He gets beat down. Jacob Fatu gets the really good entrance because he comes in with his music from the outside. Braun takes him out, but Jacob rises from the dead and dives off the announce table, taking out Braun Strowman. I don't even know where this is going, because I thought that we were getting Solo and Jacob at WrestleMania. What's Braun doing?
I don't know. I don't know if they know.
I'm calling this the monster match, because this brawl continues all the way through the crowd. And we eventually get a choke slam by Braun through tables on Jacob. Because you know what? I knew that was coming, Greg, because I am so grateful they did not make Braun Strowman take that bump, because he should not be taking those bumps. He doesn't have many of those big bumps left.
Okay, hear me out. If you want to call this the monster match, then I think this should be held in a graveyard where they could smash.
And the Undertaker's the referee.
Undertaker's the referee. Yeah.
And they can put all of the dead wrestlers' names on tombstones, and they can smash around the graveyard.
Yeah, I know it's not October, but now I don't want to hear the song.
Do the mesh? I don't have it queued up, Greg. I'm not
finding any of that. I know you didn't, but that's going to be in my head the whole day, and my wife is going to hate me for it.
LA Knight promo. LA Knight. He said Jacob had all gas and no brakes as he went through those tables. LA Knight says that this is the birthplace of America, and this is going to be the rebirth of his U.S. title reign. The U.S. needs new leadership and better representation. He survives. He survived all of this so that he can win the U.S. title. Yeah. Greg. LA Knight.
Yeah.
I think he should be called the Canadian Championship. I don't think there's very many Canadians that would argue that the U.S. needs new representation.
Elbows up, buddy. Elbows up.
Oh, and then my next favorite, Chelsea Green's there. You can't really tell quite right away what she's wearing, but she's trying to get her Secret Service back up, and Piper's going to come out with her. And Zelina Vega just slides at the beginning. Hey, I'm going to wrestle for this. Sure.
Oh, Zelina.
Greg, we had Mick Foley double represented in this match, because Zelina, I would say, argue to you that Chelsea was dressed up as Cactus Jack, yes, and Piper was dressed up a little bit like Mankind.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, the Chelsea gear with the Cactus Jack inspired shirt and the Chelsea pants. Man, oh man. Like, she just goes over the freaking top all the time with her gear, and I love it.
So before we get to that match, recap 7. Hey, John Cena's a heel. Did you hear?
Yes, I think I heard.
I got to tell you, I loved a lot of these. We're picking at these, but watching little kids react and scream, I was dying, Greg. I was dying. You're sending me a text or something, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Sorry. My messages were coming off.
We had the U.S. title match, which means your wife probably wants you, so we got to finish this. U.S. women's title match. Chelsea Green is going to wrestle, and she is wrestling Meechan in a street fight.
She is, in fact.
Meechan comes out. She attacks, takes Chelsea down. She goes outside, starts throwing a ton of weapons in there. We had a drop toe hold to a chair. Chelsea hits Meechan with the garbage can. The ladies are bumping on chains. At one point, Chelsea takes a backdrop onto just a pile of chain.
Oh, man, and it was bad. There were some bad jokes here about two chains and Joe Tessitore. I love him, but like now all I really do want to watch is I want to go back and watch Holy Moly.
Holy Foley?
No, Holy Moly. The golf show?
Holy Foley was much better.
No. Joe Tessitore on the golf show, Holy Moly, was amazing. Okay, have so you not seen this?
Oh, I've seen this, but it's not as good as Holy Foley. Sorry.
Oh, no. No. I like to see some Joe Tessitore with, what was his name? What was the other guy?
Oh, he was, Joe was just the classic announcer.
Yeah.
Chelsea does the ultimate heel move. Oh, she pulls a table out. So Greg, table out, table in, table out, table in. I was like, that was the ultimate heel move. Piper tries to attack, but she's driven away by B-Fab. Cannonball into a garbage can on Chelsea. Table gets set up. Table sort of breaks. Table gets reset up. Meechan dives to the table, taking out Chelsea. One, two, whoosh. Chelsea's pulled out of the ring for the save. It was a hooded figure. We have no idea who this is. At least I didn't. Meechan gets attacked.
I didn't have it either.
Meechan gets attacked, takes her out, and it's Alba Fire. And then Alba rolls in Chelsea for the win. And the Seared Hervis has two members.
Yeah, the Blair Davenport spot got filled by Alba Fire. Isla Dawn, apparently. Nope, but Alba Fire, sure.
But so Isla Dawn got released. That's why, Greg.
That's what I mean, right?
Well, this is fine. So apparently, my question for you, sir, is do you have to have an accent in order to join the Seared Hervis?
Probably. Well, I mean, you have to be un-American, I think, to be part of the Seared Hervis. So,
and you have to be from the British Commonwealth.
Maybe.
Because, yes, Scotland, England, Canada.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's a requirement.
You got to have a funny accent, though. I'm pretty sure there's a requirement. So Chelsea can make fun of your accent at some point.
Oh, do you know what would be really funny as I'm thinking now? Having the man come back as part of the Seared Hervis?
At least for one night.
Yeah.
So Legado promo, Santos is mad because Birdo and the other one lost. And
I know you said Birdo, but in my head, I think Birdo, and I now kind of want to play Super Mario too.
He is Birdo. Anyways, Andrade comes in and tells Birdo that he that he deserves now better. You've
got that picture, don't you?
I want to do is like have a version of Birdo with some sort of lucha gear on and the scratch across his chest or her chest. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Birdo's technically a girl.
Sure.
The bow. It has to be.
I was going to say, and of course, I know it's not till Monday, but it's almost Mario Day.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So, Greg, more Latino and Latino violence.
That's what we get.
It's like you cannot have a meaningful feud unless you're feuding with another Latino. Yep. You Latinos.
All right.
Recap 8. More stuff.
Yes.
I feel like I need to yell. Guys, I'm doing a podcast down here. You unprofessional arseholes.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it was yours or mine. So that's why I'm just letting it go.
It's definitely mine. It's I am recording.
A podcast. Stop screaming at the top podcast. Of your lungs, assholes.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes promo. And
the ring. He's beat up. He's got a beat up eye. Thanks. Rapper who was smoking pot. His name escapes me.
John Cena. Oh, I haven't even done, and I've been doing like promos, but I haven't included him. He doesn't count.
Yeah, but what the hell's his name? He does the Raw theme song now.
Oh.
The guy I don't know.
Travis Scott. Yeah. So they've been talking about this since they were 4 years old. All of this nonsense, Greg. All of this nonsense. So he told his kid, who's only four, that he ran into a wall.
Yes. And the wall is The Rock.
And John Cena. John Cena, like everyone else in this arena, he was his hero. He drove around with him and he said, never give up. And John Cena did give up. Greg, John Cena gave up. He turned heel. Story, he talked about his dad being afraid to be here in Philly because he dressed up like one of the Road Warriors because he was afraid they wouldn't embrace him. But Philly has always chosen Cody from when he had a stupid mustache climbing a ladder to when he finished the story last year at WrestleMania. And he is coming for John Cena. This was exactly what I wanted. The hero's reply.
Yeah, listen, anything that we can get dashing Cody Rhodes, any mention of dashing Cody Rhodes or
dashing, because Stardust is kind of like wink and nod. Dashing is one of my favorites, especially with the mustache.
Yeah, yeah. Good old Zelda boots, as my wife calls them.
Okay, Miz and Mello promo in the back. They thought that Cody's, first of all, Miz said, "I told you, I've been warning you about John Cena for years." Every heel, all I can see is Bobby the Brain Heenan when Hulk Hogan turned, and Bobby's all those years of him saying Hogan's not really a nice guy pay off in one set of commentary. Yeah. So he's 100% right. And now he wants to ask Cody the hard hitting questions on Mello Don't Miz TV. Mello said, "I didn't agree to this, but I do." And then he makes fun of Randy Orton, who's sitting at home playing Fortnite on his couch. And Randy walks in and says, "I was actually playing Elden Ring. Fortnite's for kids." Greg, I have to ask you an important question. I know you're not the most observant person, but what sponsor is on the ring on Monday nights?
Oh, it's probably Fortnite, but the one I noticed, the one I noticed tonight was the Minecraft movie.
Yes, the Minecraft movie, but it is Fortnite. Fortnite is on the thing. I was like, oh my gosh, did somebody not tell Randy? Hey, Randy, you're not allowed to make fun of Fortnite.
Oh, you're allowed to do it on SmackDown because they don't sponsor that. If they want to sponsor SmackDown too, then Randy would be playing Fortnite at Elden Ring.
That's right. Randy's searching for that Elden Ring money. This is the only match that I legitimately did not enjoy. Main event non-main event Jimmy Uso versus Drew McIntyre.
Good old Big Jim.
Nothing happens before the commercial. After the commercial, Jimmy
nothing
misses.
Nothing happens either.
He misses the splash or doesn't quite hit it, and we get Claymore. That's it. That's the whole match.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then Drew's going to go back and beat up Jimmy some more, but he gets saved by Damian Priest, and Damian Priest starts screaming, "It's on site." And
I'm going to kill you. You know, it should be great.
Or not.
Yeah, whatever.
The Street Profits video, they talk about how they've been bringing the chaos, they've been bringing the beat down, and they haven't quite become heels, Greg, but they're leading that way.
Yeah. Yeah, if only they had a wife who could be a heel.
With them.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
DIY declares themselves the best tag team in the world, TBTITW.
Yeah, sure.
And they are going to, they have the titles, and everybody else can fight over who is number two or 2A or 2B, but they're number one. And a moment of silence for the Street Profits' hopes and dreams. And then Buddy goes to cut back in. And he goes, "Hey, we said a moment of silence."
That's right.
It's like, damn, Byron Saxton, catch your trays.
Yeah.
Greg, I can tell you're hungry and you're tired. Let's go to the main event. Finally, the main event of this evening, Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight for the U.S. title. Shinsuke's doing Shinsuke things. He does a lot of strikes, and then he hits that sliding German, which always looks incredible. I know it's not a big move, but boy, does it look great.
Yeah.
We get a recovery. And LA Knight's on top going into the commercial. Apparently Shinsuke dominated during the commercial. We can watch those on Netflix but you can not skip. I've learned how to do that today. But why would you? Nothing happened. I did it for this match as an experiment, Greg. And I was like, what a waste time that was, Brad.
So I legitimately turned off the show last night at the Mellow Dome Miz part and got up this morning and watched the end. So I didn't have to skip through anything.
Oh, anyways, at LA Knight, I watched this morning too, Greg, but I did do the thing where I wanted to see it. I know there's a way you can you slowly scroll, it won't skip, so you can watch the commercial. So I just tried that one time. I'm never not skipping the commercials, Greg, because nothing happened. Okay. And they know when they're in commercial. LA, especially on when they're, it's on Netflix, when it's Raw and it's only on Netflix, it might be different.
Yeah,
we're on not on this show. LA Knight jumps up to the top rope, but Shinsuke sneaks at the bottom and drops LA Knight in the back of his head with like a version of a back body drop, but it's more like a throw. It was gross looking.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
The second time LA Knight catches him on the top rope, does the superplex, then the elbow. And at this point, Shinsuke is trying to keep his title. He goes out to grab a chair. He blocks. LA Knight goes to swing the chair and no, you can't use the chair. So he doesn't. They go back in the ring and Charles Robinson gets caught in the middle. Down goes Charles. Shinsuke hits a Scorpio Rising, which looks incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, what happened to Charles is that Shinsuke was going to miss LA Knight. Right.
And he missed the Charles.
Yeah, he hit Charles.
And now Charles is gone for 6 months.
No, he'll be back.
It's a level 10 ref bump.
Well, I mean, Charles got beaten up last week too, so.
So there's no ref. So Shinsuke is going to cheat. But LA Knight is able to block the chair by kicking it back into Shinsuke's face. The chair falls conveniently in the middle of the ring and Shinsuke gets dropped with a BFT onto the chair. Wind sprint from the rescue ref from the back. 1, 2, 3. And we have a new US title champion. Yeah,
the only part I didn't like here is that he kicked the chair out of the ring right to where the referee is going to be running in.
If he would have kicked it the other way, it would have been fine. But the ref literally had to jump over the chair to get the ring.
Right? It's like, all right.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. We get the new champion. And
We do get Louisiana Knight as the new champion.
Greg, are we going to get more? Like, I just can't help.
I hope not. But
I think we're getting a bunch of 3 and 4 way matches for the mid-card titles at WrestleMania.
Maybe.
Jimmy Uso is probably going to get involved with this. LA Knight. I'm also wondering with Shinsuke not being, I don't know if it was a passport issue or an injury, but Shinsuke not being able to get into Canada last week. I was wondering if this was a way to get the title off of him.
Was it that he couldn't get into Canada?
I have no idea, but he wasn't there last week. So they made up that stupid tournament. That's stupid though. That was a great tournament because it actually was better than what we normally get.
Yeah. I don't know if there was any issue there or not, but yeah. All right, Brad, let's go home.
All right, let's go to the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Okay, rapid fire, Greg. I'll skip the sound effects because I know you've got to be somewhere short. So Damian Priest in the back getting beat up by Drew.
Sure.
That's an eh.
Yeah, we can keep that. Eh.
Randy Orton talking segment.
The Randy Orton talking segment? Yeah, because it got you your bottom line that you liked.
Tiffy versus Tiffy and Nick Aldis in the back, but interrupted by Chelsea.
Yes, anytime we see Nicholas, we're gonna keep that.
And we'll keep the Tiffany Stratton Piper Niven match that comes out of it because you kind of, if those are a package.
Yes, agreed.
Matt, the second match, the triple threat tag team match.
Yes, keep that.
Oh boy. Bianca promo.
No.
Drew McIntyre promo explaining that he has no hope.
He does have no hope, but I don't think we need that.
And also Charlotte Flair?
We definitely don't need Charlotte.
Solo Sikoa versus Braun Strowman with a brawl of the Monster Mash.
Sure, we can keep this. That was inoffensive.
LA Knight, Philly promo.
Yeah, don't need it.
Oh, that hurt. I like that one. The U.S. title match, Chelsea Green versus Meechan, street fight, and the addition of the Secret Service.
Oh, 100% we're keeping this.
Cody Rhodes, promo in Philly.
Meh.
So that's we cut it down or kind
of. Listen, the part that I wanted on this show was I wanted the Cody Rhodes and R-Truth, a follow up from last week that I didn't get. So I'm
cranky
Cody Rhodes this week. I'm cranky. I want it. I want my Cody and my R-Truth.
Miz and Mello don't Miz with Randy Orton coming in and saying, "Uh-oh, Mello, you're about to get RKO'd."
I'm okay with this, and I'm really excited to. Or noticed how much of a big difference there is in the hype between Randy Orton and Carmelo, at least the way they framed the shot. So I'll be curious to see what it's like in ring.
And look for a spectacular RKO next week. Because he's a springy dude. He's about to get dropped. And finally, non-main event, Jimmy Uso versus Drew McIntyre. Not finally. Hold on, Greg. Yeah. That one's getting the actual Like, what the hell?
The aftermatch part is fine, but yeah.
They could have just been fighting in the back. That's fine. He could have attacked Jimmy. If this was in the non-3-hour show, he would have beat Jimmy up in the back.
That's fair. All right.
DIY promo.
No.
Oh, I was going to hit this rebel heart. Finally, Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight, and LA Knight is your new champion.
Yeah, we'll keep this.
And this one does get the...
Yeah!
There you go. All right, so overall, watch this show after the fact. It was 2/3 good.
Yeah, yeah. It was an okay show.
That's, you know what I used to say in university, Greg? This is a solid C, and do you know what C is for? Could have been a D. Could have been a D.
Cookie, and it's good enough for you?
No, C, it's, so an A is awesome. B is better than a C. C is could have been a D. D is didn't fail. And F was, well, yeah. F, I have to take this again.
All right.
So if you want to check out more shows on the network, next up in sequence is Storytime with Jimmy, the Raw Dogs. We'll be back this week talking all about Monday Night Raw. And then the main show, also on TSN Radio, with Donnie DeSilva and Jimmy Corderas, with interviews, news, and everything you need to know in the wrestling world. I am Brad the Dad. He is Greg Father Feltham. We are your Smack Daddies. Find us on all the socials. Greg, as we approach 250 people on our YouTube, I cannot believe that number keeps going, because I have no idea why people watch that, the chaos. But thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And next week, Greg is on special assignments. So yeah,
Greg may be on assignment for a couple of weeks, but we'll figure it out. I know you've got the bat signal sent out.
Well, it's more like the B signal.
B signal? The Brad?
No, the Burkhead.
Oh.
Burkhead. Yeah, I already heard back from Sean, so it looks like Burkhead will be joining us next week.
Do you know what? It's an all B broadcast. It's Brad and Burkhead from Barcelona.
And Greg, anything else you want to say to the people, or just good night, goodbye, and once.
We'll see you when I'm back.
Go to